Hello and welcome to Glitchy Switch, the podcast all about what it feels like discovering you have ADHD as an adult. My name is Martin and I believe that no one deserves to live in shame in a world not designed for them. So in each episode, I'll pick off the kind of questions that go through your mind on the journey from curiosity to diagnosis. Whether you're on your own journey or supporting someone who is, I hope my own experiences might just help you. I know what it's like to have a busy life and a busy mind, so each episode lasts about as long as a cup of coffee, so you can easily fit it in and enjoy without draining too much energy. Before we get going, I just wanted to say thank you for sending me your thoughts on what you'd like to talk about. Please do keep them coming. The next episode after this one will be all about one of your topics. Hit me up via glitchyswitchpodcast@gmail.com or glitchyswitchpodcast on Instagram. Really love to hear what you want to talk about. Last time we talked about people's reactions to finding out about my ADHD diagnosis. This time we're going to talk about reactions again, but from the perspective of some things I've come across that really don't hit well as an ADHD person. One thing you realise once you become part of a new group is just how aware you become of intent versus impact behind what people say. I've always considered myself sort of an ally to diversity groups, but as a middle-aged straight white guy, I can empathise all I want, but I'm conscious that my privilege is kind of maxed out. But becoming an ADHD person and a member of the neurodiverse community suddenly, I don't know, has given me a sort of first-hand experience of being part of, well, I suppose what you would call a minority group. And that suddenly makes you notice how people talk about you and other people. So I offer this counsel to you just to plant the seed for the next time you're chatting to someone like me and in a situation a bit like some of the ones that are coming up. All right? So, okay, here we go. The first is when people ask about what it's like to be an ADHD person and what some of the traits are. This happens a lot, as you can imagine, especially when you've told the world you've been diagnosed and it's all kind of a bit new to people, particularly people that know you well, and it's a bit of a shock. Now, the thing is, there's a whole bunch of traits that taken on their own sound like everyday things. The difference is for an ADHD person, they are things that happen often enough on a day-to-day basis that the person either has to work really hard to keep them under control or otherwise let them take over their life. So as you can imagine, particularly if you have been diagnosed late in life and you've worn yourself out, you know, masking the hell out of all of this stuff, like constantly forgetting things, constantly fighting the urge not to interrupt and finding it really, really hard to concentrate when reading, for example, in my case, are pretty serious to you. So what do people say? Oh, I do that all the time. And it's usually done really dismissively. And you think to yourself, oh, thanks for that. I could have saved myself a few quid on a psychiatrist. So whatever you do, when an ADHD person is talking about their traits, don't just wave them away or dismiss them because you're talking about something that's made, you know, their life genuinely miserable, but not really registered on yours. We're talking about something that that person lives with day after day after day. It can actually be really, really upsetting, and it turns to very, very frustrating very, very quickly. Okay, so the next one is related, but it's similarly one of those things that people say. Oh, everyone's a bit ADHD, I think. And you think, well, to the extent where people do forget things and people are, I don't know, divergent thinkers, then all right then. But you're using a clinical term that literally has an official diagnostic criteria. When people say things like that, it makes you feel like they think ADHD is, you know, just some load of old guff that someone's made up, I don't know, just for attention or something like that. Now, maybe this might just be me and other ADHD people being particularly sensitive, but, you know, I think as we'll probably end up talking about at least one of the weeks coming up, that can also go with the territory as well. So again, you really just need to respect that the person is talking about something that is a big part of their identity. And if you have doubts about whether ADHD is a thing or not, you know, and it's all been kind of made up and shouty headlines in tabloids to be believed or whatever, then whether or not you believe they have it or whether it's real, you're probably well advised to just keep that to yourself because they really, really, really don't want to hear it. And in my case, finding out I had ADHD was such a big deal and such a breakthrough to me. I can't help but take that a little bit personally if you behave that way. Okay, another thing to watch out for is when someone's ADHD means they have a habit of doing something. I don't know, something like forgetting their keys or, as in my case, being clumsy and always bumping my head on things that I know are there, that kind of thing. On that, we have a garden shed that has some like cross brace things that sort of, you know, roughly the right place for me to smack my head on. I built that shed myself. I've been in and out of it probably hundreds of times over the years. Every single time I go into it, I will smack my head on the girders across the top. I can't stop it. The last time we cleaned the shed out, my wife actually made me wear a cycle helmet just because I was smashing the hell out of my head. I can't stop it. I know it's there. I just have a complete blind spot to it. And I will do it not just once or twice, but over and over and over and over and over. Now, I understand if you're kind of the other side of this, because it must be really, really frustrating because you're watching someone doing the same thing time after time after time after time, and you're getting held up because they've always lost their keys. And I get it. It's going to do your head in after a while if you've had to live with this and compensate for it, you know, all these years or whatever. But when the person has been diagnosed, definitely, absolutely, you must stop with that scolding. If the person is still losing things, it may very well be that they are trying their very best but coming up short still, right? They're not just doing it to annoy the hell out of you. They're doing it because they genuinely cannot stop themselves doing it, or they stop themselves doing it an awful lot of the day and it just so happens you're there when it leaks out. I don't know, maybe they've spent their day at work trying to, you know, make like a normal person, quotes, or a neurotypical person, you might say. And by the time they get home, or when you see them on the weekend, or you've gone to the pub with them or something like that, maybe they're just kind of relaxing a little bit. So, you know, there's nothing worse, absolutely nothing worse than being scolded for not doing something you're absolutely wearing yourself out trying hard to do, but don't even know you're not doing it, if you see what I mean. I think I might have missed a knot out there, but you get the idea. The better thing, by far the better thing, is to recognise that this is a blind spot for them, and either with routine or maybe offering to remind them or something, just try and support them through it, right? I mean, I kind of made a bit of a joke about having to wear the cycle helmet, but actually, funnily enough, it stopped me literally knocking chunks out of my scalp, as you've probably seen if you've seen me on Instagram or you've actually paid attention to the logo on this podcast. I don't have a lot of hair, so you won't be surprised to see that I have cuts and grazes and things quite often on my head. Now, there's practical things you can do, though, to combat some of the traits. So, for example, I have like a kind of a bag, right? My wife and I call it my man's bag, and that's after Friends and Joey, for those of you that remember that, when Joey had like a kind of shoulder bag thing. It's not as big as that, but it's kind of like a little sort of pouch with a strap that goes over my shoulder. And what I do is I put my keys and my wallet in there, and it's always hung in the same place at home. I was forever losing both of those things, and a number of times I would have woken up in a mad panic in the middle of the night and go scrambling downstairs, turning the house upside down, looking for stuff, when actually, you know, they were somewhere perfectly innocuous. Actually, just that one little bit of practical advice from my wife saved me a lot of stress. And I actually cannot remember the last time I've lost my keys, which is an absolute game changer. If anybody who knows me well over a few years is listening, and I rarely lose them these days. So try and get practical with the person and try and do something helpful. We could keep going on, but I'll leave you with something that actually makes me feel anxious just even thinking about it. So the thing you got to remember with ADHD people is we have lower dopamine levels, they think, Which means that we're often looking for a reward of some kind. You know, people being interested in what we're doing, for example, is one of those things. The other thing many ADHD people have is something called rejection sensitive dysphoria, which means we can be really extra sensitive, not just to actual rejection, but to perceived rejection. And again, I think we'll probably end up talking about that one of these weeks. So there you go. That's an incentive to keep subscribing. Anyway, so if an ADHD person is excited about something and wants to show you, whatever you do, don't roll your eyes and tell them to get out of your hair and stop going on. If you can, please, for me, just give them a listen and show a little bit of interest. And I realise this can take some effort because, you know, you may not be interested in the latest thing we're hyper-focusing on, you know, nerdy records that we've found on Discogs and we want to buy, and it's all very exciting because it's an original pressing and not the 1980s repress of an old Motown track or something. I don't know. But being obviously dismissive, or even slightly dismissive, depending on the person, can be really, really, really hurtful. So please, I'm begging you, please just give them a little bit of sugar. It will make so much difference to them. And the reverse is actually a lot worse, if you see what I mean. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there for now, but I'm hoping, armed with those, you know, little snippets of advice, you may just avoid inadvertently putting a fork in the toaster with an ADHD person that you love. And next time, we've got one of your questions to tackle. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. You can get in touch via glitchyswitchpodcast@gmail.com with your thoughts and suggestions of things you'd like to hear about. You can also follow me on @glitchyswitchpodcast on Instagram for more on ADHD life and to find out what's coming next.